hosts who are defending us, proclaiming God's word, and protecting us even as they fight against the demons. St. Michael's Day is a traditional beginning of the Christian education year in the church, and so we'll install our new Sunday school teachers and include our Sunday school in prayer today. St. Michael's Day, because we remember our guardian angels, is also traditionally the day for a blessing of children, and we'll invite parents, grandparents, and godparents to bring unconfirmed children to the chancel to be blessed later in the service also. We do go to the care center following Bible class today. We sing there for about 20 minutes. Please come and join us. We could use some more voices. Next real life new member class is about to begin. Let me know people that you know of that I should make sure to get invitations to that. Note in our bulletin today and also the article in the newsletter about the Life Chain next Sunday. That's just an hour next Sunday afternoon, an opportunity for us to give witness to God's gift of life. Newsletters, I believe, are in your boxes. Thank you, Brenda. And in prayers today, we remember also, in addition to those who are included in the bulletin, Jeanette Boyer, Monica's mom. Are there other prayers, other announcements? Jane. Absolutely. Her name is?
Gloria.
Gloria. Will do. Other prayers, other announcements. Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. You're welcome to greet folks. Peace of the Lord. God's peace, Don. God's peace. Peace of the Lord. Peace of the Lord. Welcome. God's peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Everlasting God, you have ordained and constituted the service of angels and men in a wonderful order. Mercifully grant that as your holy angels always serve and worship you in heaven, so by your appointment they may also help and defend us here on earth. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for St. Michael and all angels is from Daniel chapters 10 and 12. Daniel writes, "Behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you.' And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.' This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We speak Psalm 91 in unison, omitting the antiphon. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from Revelation chapter 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who will dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The 72 whom Jesus sent out returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Oh, as the dragon sent him to his fiery grave.
The word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is from Revelation chapter 12, today's epistle. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord, Jesus Christ. So I realize that some of you have heard this sermon introduction before, but there are people present who have never had the opportunity to roll their eyes or shake their heads in disbelief at the audacity of the preacher. So, ladies and gentlemen, Holy Bible Productions, in cooperation with the World Wrestling Alliance, now presents to you the Tag Team Match of the Ages. In this corner, wearing the black trunks with the black pitchforks, Demon Lucifer and his unholy demons. And in this corner, wearing the white trunks with the gold halos, Saint Michael and his holy angels. Let's get ready to rumble! Are there times when the battle between holy and unholy, good and bad, demons and angels seems like a professional wrestling match? Which is to say, maybe it's entertaining, but it hardly seems real. Well, the truth is, this battle is very real. It is not for your entertainment, and your eternity is hanging in the balance. Sometime while God was making all things, he also made the holy angels to serve him. But some of them, as scripture seems to suggest, about a third, rebelled against him. They are led by Lucifer, an archangel, Satan, the devil. What happens? War arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. There was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. So Michael and his holy angels win the war. When does this happen? I used to assume that it must have happened either way back at the beginning of creation when the angels first rebelled, or it's going to happen sometime in the future when Jesus returns. Both of my assumptions are wrong if I'm reading the text immediately before today's text correctly. It says that Jesus comes down from heaven, then he returns to heaven, and the war happens between good and evil angels. Which is to say, Jesus died for you. Jesus rose victorious on the third day. He returned to his throne on high. And at that moment, the battle broke out. The war was won by Saint Michael and his angels. Doesn't this make sense? Once Jesus has come down to this earth, once he has taken your sin on him, once he has removed all of Satan's claim to you, and once he has put a stamp on that victory by coming back to life 3 days after he was put in the tomb, Satan is defeated. There's no more accusations that he can level at you. And so by the time Jesus returns to heaven, all that's left, in a sense, is mop-up work. Saint Michael and his crew boot out the evil angels. This is the good news. Satan is no longer in heaven. Here's the bad news. Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath. He is making war on you. He has declared war on you. And you can do what most people in this world do. I don't want anything to do with that battle. I am not fighting. I suppose people in London could have had that attitude about World War II. I'm not getting involved in this. I'm not going to war, and I'm not sending my children to war. What happened? The Nazis brought the war to them, dropped bombs on London, incinerated the city. They ended up dying, even if they said, "I'm not getting involved." What happens if you don't fight against Satan? He attacks you anyway, and you die. Woe to you, O earth and heaven, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath. And you can say, but this text says the devil's already been defeated. Yes, but defeated enemies sometimes are the most deadly. At the end of the Civil War, when Confederate armies were surrendering left and right, some in the South continued to fight on. One of the places was in Texas. In fact, the last battle of the Civil War was fought in Texas. I learned this from Ken Burns' documentary. And the South won. Ask the people, the soldiers from the North who fought in that battle. They found out firsthand, your enemy can be defeated, but they can still be very deadly. The demons can still destroy your life, even though they have been defeated by your Lord. In fact, in some ways, being defeated makes them even more deadly, because as the text says, the devil knows that his time is short. If you don't fight, or if you try to fight on your own, you do not stand a chance. Eve had no sinful inclinations in her at all, and she wasn't able to resist the devil. There is no way that you and I, who are oozing with sinful inclinations, could possibly ever resist the demons. Sometimes we think, oh, well, there's not much harm in the little sins that we're doing. I wonder if Eve thought that too. Look, it's not like I'm murdering somebody. I'm not stealing. I'm not even lying. I'm just enjoying this piece of fruit. And what was the result of her little sin? How many people do you know who have cancer, or heart disease, or diabetes? How many are fighting against depression or schizophrenia? How many people you know are affected by earthquakes, floods, hurricanes? How many families are falling apart? How many people are dying? All of us. All because of Eve's little sin. Do not let the devil and his demons convince you that what you're doing is just a little sin that doesn't have any big consequences. Don't let him lie and convince your conscience that as long as it doesn't seem to you like there's anybody being hurt, that it's okay. That's precisely the kind of thinking that killed Adam and Eve. Do not let the devil convince you that you do not need to be in Bible study, that your children do not need to be in Sunday school, that Christian education isn't essential for your life so long as you come to church every once in a while. Because not only are the demonic angels working to get you to defy God, they actually succeed in doing so. And it's at that moment that Satan becomes the prosecuting attorney, what did the text call him? The accuser. I bet there are judges up in Belleville who sometimes get awakened in the middle of the night to sign like a search warrant. But Satan doesn't even allow the judge to go to bed. He accuses you day and night before our God, the text says. He's constantly listing one more sin, another sin that you have committed, and demanding, "Your Honor, blood must be shed for all of this law-breaking." And the thing is, unlike most of the time when the devil speaks, he's actually telling the truth in this case. The evidence against you and me is overwhelming in God's courtroom. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, we are guilty. Who's going to stop all these accusations of Satan? Maybe an angel? No. Angels are great at kicking demons out of heaven. Angels are great at protecting you and your children, keeping us even from stubbing our toe, the psalm says. Angels are awesome at leading our heavenly praises, but they cannot get rid of the sin that Satan is accusing you of. Maybe God could do that, but if you read the verses again right before our text, all God has done for the earth is handed us a baby. Look, adults have been unable to resist Satan since the beginning of the world. How in the world is a little baby going to be of any use to us? Oh, a little baby's a lot of use if that little baby happens to be God in the flesh. And who announced his birth? Oh, it was one of St. Michael's angels. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He doesn't look like a Savior while he is lying there helpless in a manger. And when he grows up and they nail him to a cross, it looks like he's the one who's been silenced, not Satan. But when Jesus bows his head and gives up his spirit and dies, every accusation that Satan could level at you, his entire list of incriminations gets wiped out, covered in the blood of the Lamb, to use the text's term. Because Satan says, blood has to be shed for all your lawbreaking. Jesus says, blood has been shed for all of your lawbreaking by me on the cross. Still, when the beaten and bloody Jesus hangs his head and dies, looks for all the world like Satan has not only won that battle, but he's won the whole war. 3 days later, it's another angel who announces the truth from outside a recently vacated tomb. He is not here. He has risen. And he might have added, and Christ has won the victory. Look, Satan is going to continue to accuse you day and night, but Jesus is defending you day and night. Jesus is reminding his Father, the judge, that your sentence has already been served, that he cannot condemn you because he's already condemned Jesus for you. He's reminding his Father, you are baptized. You are forgiven. So are your children. So bring them to Sunday school to hear that wonderful message. Come to yourself to Bible class to hear that wonderful message. And kids, if your parents will not bring you, tell them you need to be in Sunday school because you still have a Satan who's attacking you day and night. He's going to attack you even more because you are a Christian. He doesn't need to worry about attacking non-Christians. He's already got them. I don't know what specific sins you have that are threatening your faith and your trust in God, but I know you have them. I do too. For kids, they might be lying. It might be defying your parents or other authorities. Adults, it might be a love of money or a refusal to give up those earthly possessions that you just can't part with. Maybe it's a desire for revenge, a refusal to forgive, an affair, pornography. Or maybe there's a business deal so lucrative that you consider doing the unethical practices of your competitors. Look, it is hard to do what is right when the devil, all of his demons, and even the people of this world are telling you, just do what you're sinful desire wants. Don't listen. I will agree, sin sometimes seems fun right after you do it, but not in the long run, and you're joining the losing side. The angels of hell are fighting against you, but the angels of heaven are fighting for you, and better yet, their leader is fighting for you. Jesus, the one who plunges you into the waters of baptism, who strengthens you with the promises of what he has done for you, who feeds you with his body and his blood, all so that you can battle the demons, hold on to faith, and resist temptation. And on those occasions when you give in to temptation, when Satan starts accusing you, when you're starting to feel guilt, even after you have confessed and been forgiven. You remind yourself, you remind Satan that you are covered in the blood of the Lamb, that your name is written in his book of life. You remind Satan where you're going to spend eternity and where he's going to spend eternity. This is what Christian education helps you and your children to do. You see, this battle, this war, is huge. Satan and all of his hordes are there. So is Saint Michael with all of the holy angels. But this is not professional wrestling. This is reality. So keep trusting the one who has already won the victory. And the winner is... Well, as St. Michael and his angels would never cease telling us, the winner is Jesus and all who trust in Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the Nicene Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. I invite those who will be teaching in our Sunday school in the next year to come forward to be installed. Sunday school teachers, please come forward.
Being installed as teachers of Christ our Savior Lutheran Church and working with our Heavenly Father, it's great joy. Hear God's word. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And with these words that I command you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Beloved in the Lord, you are to assist me as the minister of the word and sacrament in Christ our Savior congregation in instructing God's people according to his holy word. You're to prepare yourselves for this work by your individual and your corporate study of the word of God and the faith drawn from it as it's been delivered to us in the small catechism. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are certainly expected of all members of our congregation, it is especially important that you show yourselves by your word and example to be faithful to him in your Christian service and your Christian devotion. In the presence of God in this congregation, I therefore ask you to accept the position entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and answer, I do.
Thank you.
Dear members of Christ our Savior congregation, you've heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these men and women. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of your abilities, that God may be glorified and that his work might be done in our midst? And answer, we do.
We do.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as Sunday school teachers of Christ our Savior Lutheran Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your service so that you may be good and faithful leaders and teachers for the glory of his name and the salvation of his people. Let us pray. Lord, grant to these your people the gifts of wisdom and discretion, kindness and faithfulness, so that they may effectively teach and guide. And grant to all your people a ready willingness to learn. Let the knowledge of your word be preserved and extended among us, so that all may know and praise you both now and forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord, the Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Amen. During the next hymn, I invite parents, grandparents, and godparents to bring forward any children who have not yet been confirmed to receive a blessing. The Lord Jesus said, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Confident then of our Father's care for children, we pray this day for the youngest members of our congregation.
Hear then the word of God from St. Mark chapter 10. And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guard you, guide you, bless you, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guard you, guide you, bless you, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guard you, guide you, bless you, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guard you, guide you, bless you, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guard you, guide you, bless you, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, guard you, guide you, bless you, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen. Do we have any second graders here or any older than second grade who haven't previously received a Bible?
Children and youth of your church, by your Holy Spirit, that they may grow in the knowledge of your word. Grant that they may serve you and develop their talents, not for their own sakes, but for your glory. Protect them from harm and give your holy angels charge of them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Go in peace. Thanksgiving for the work of God's holy angels to cast out the devil and his demons from heaven, and with our plea that God send his angels to protect our children and us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church on earth, her people and her pastors, for the Christ our Savior family, for Good Shepherd Christ and St. Mark congregations, that like the holy angels, every pastor teach God's word purely. That Ray, Isabel, and all of us baptized Christians rejoice that our names are written in heaven. The Holy Spirit strengthen us to stand against temptation and live holy lives. And that those who do not trust Christ be turned to faith in him. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our nation, especially our president, Congress, and judiciary, that God guide each to do what is right, that he protect them from corruption, guard them from harm. And that as we enjoy prosperity in this country, the Holy Spirit never let us forget from whom that prosperity comes and for whom we're privileged to use it. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who are in need of our Lord's healing and peace, that God send his guardian angels to each of them, that he grant them comfort, faith, and at the right time healing, especially that he care for Gloria, Jeanette, Deborah, Alvin, Jeanette, Herb, Parker, Reagan, Holly, Joshua, Stanley, Hope, Ed, the Martinez family, Clem, John, Nina, Norma, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Kathy, and Sherry. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For marriage in our world, and for Kevin and Amy who celebrate their anniversary, that our Heavenly Father protect his divine gift of marriage against those who seek to pervert what he has established, and that he enable Kevin, Amy, and every married couple to enjoy his blessings together. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian education in our families, that God enable mothers and especially fathers to be teachers and examples of righteousness for their children. For our Sunday school students and teachers, that our teaching may be pure and that every learner be attentive to God's word. And for Unity School, that God provide the necessary financial resources and that he guide the staff and students according to his will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For neglected and abused children around this world, that the God of compassion send his angels to protect them, that he deliver them from their anguish and sorrow so that their tears may cease, and that they be granted faith in their Savior. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of us who come to the Holy Supper of Christ, the Lamb who graciously gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, use this meal to assure us that he has conquered Satan and the evil angels, and that he give us his strength so that we can resist their temptation and serve our God as the holy angels do. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him your majesty is praised by all the holy angels and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and all the powers therein. The cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created,
sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin, be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Have mercy on us.
this true blood of Christ shed for you. You have received the body and blood of the Lamb who has conquered Satan for you. Go in his peace.
Delight is but to be with you, Lord Jesus, and to keep your little flock, your lambs and sheep. Strikes with pain and strife, they guard God's people all through life. Increase, we plead, our song of praise for angel hosts that guide our days.
Let all mortal flesh keep silent. tributary to break the bars of death. Thou hast opened them to
body and blood of our
Lord, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith to life everlasting. Go in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
Amen.